Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, September 23rd. Coming up today, we'll hear from an Ashford mum about how she saved her two-year-old son's life when he started choking on a coin. We'll also have the wrap-up from the weekend after Gillingham beat top of the table Notts County. But first, taking a look at our top story today. The park and ride in Canterbury has been slammed as a waste of money after reports it's being subsidised by almost £30,000 a month. The reopening of the service at Sturry Road was a flagship policy of the council's new administration, but it's now been revealed it's costing taxpayers almost £950 per day due to low user numbers. Andrew Harvey is co-leader of the Green Group at Canterbury City Council.
We love park and rides as a party. They work fantastically, they take cars off the road and they move people about in an environmentally friendly way. Trouble is, the location of this one at Sturry is not the best place, and it's encouraging more cars to come in and more journeys, or really adding to traffic, adding to congestion in Sturry at the level crossing, which is a black spot. Air quality there is frequently breaching World Health Organization guidelines, and we're only adding to that at the moment.
I mean, what needs to be done then? If it's not working now, I mean, I think it's almost, if you average it out statistically, it's almost one person per journey at the moment, and maybe even less actually, I think. What needs to be done then to change this and actually make it work?
Well, there's several things we could do, but the main one really is we shouldn't be using big diesel buses. That is pointless. When they're having one or two passengers, frequently running empty. We could be doing the same job with small minibuses, electric minibuses, plenty of them about now, that would do that journey all day long under their range, charge them up at night when our grid is the greenest and cheapest, and it would work no end, I feel. And also, you know, they're suggesting that the usage of it is increasing, which it is, and it's been marketed very well, but it needs to be about fivefold the usage to make that environmentally friendly if we continue to use diesel buses. So I think we should be changing the buses that we're using.
I mean, why do you think it's not being used well in the first place?
That's a very good question. I don't think it's in a particularly good location as I see it. That road, Sturry Road from Thanet, is served perfectly well by buses and trains anyway. If you want to go from Herne Bay, if you want to go from here, you can get a bus that will take you all the way to Canterbury for £2. So it's not much point driving your car to Sturry and then taking a park and ride bus for the last bit of the journey.
And the council have admitted to this. Tell us, I mean, it's actually increasing emissions going into Canterbury City Centre, this park and ride scheme, which is designed to do the complete opposite.
It is. It's increasing emissions. We know by about 150 tonnes of carbon dioxide per year for running those buses. It's just insane. It's adding to congestion because we're basically putting one bus for each car journey we're saving. A bus takes up three times the road space of a car. So you're adding to congestion, you're adding to emissions because there's more cars stuck behind those buses. And there's no way it makes any sense whatsoever when we've declared a climate emergency at Canterbury City Council.
The council say the restart of the park and ride is moving in the right direction.
Kent Online News.
A man's avoided prison after admitting to spying on women and children with a camera he hid in two Rochester toilets. 67-year-old Philip Woolmer from Chattenden was caught by one of his victims who noticed a black box stuck to the back of a sanitary bin. The former businessman's been placed on the sex offenders register for a decade and handed a suspended 21-month prison sentence. A homeless man from Folkestone has been sent to prison after admitting stealing champagne and smoked salmon from two hotels. Carl Brazier Denning has 45 convictions for more than 100 offences. The 30-year-old's now back behind bars after breaking into the guest house earlier this month. Drones are being used to deliver drugs and other illicit items into a Sheppey prison, according to a new report. Inspectors say staff at Swaleside must tackle the issue if it's to improve. There's also been an increase in self-harm and violence since September last year, and assaults on staff are also a concern. The daughter of a woman who died after an explosion at a bungalow near Ashford has said she will always be in her heart. Charlene Burville was flown to hospital after the blast on Canterbury Road in Charing last week, but passed away the following day. You can read tributes at Kent Online. An investigation into what caused it is underway.
Kent Online News.
An Ashford mum has spoken about the moment she saved the life of her two-year-old son when he started choking on a coin.
I was in my conservatory with my two-year-old son, who is a lovely little boy, but he likes to explore putting things in his mouth. So I'm really good at, you know, finding, making sure there's nothing dangerous. But I'd moved a shelf and was cleaning behind it, and obviously I'd missed a penny coin that he had found. And I had no idea that he'd found it. He was jumping up and down next to me. So I was like, you know, sweeping and doing what I was doing. And I heard him take a really sharp intake of breath. And as I turned around, he was clearly not able to breathe. He was panicking. His eyes were watering. And I completely freaked out. It was absolutely terrifying. My heart stopped. And because I didn't know what was in his mouth either, I had no idea what was going on. Like, I could see he was choking, but I didn't know on what, or, you know, whether it was his saliva. So I did the usual. You know, I tipped him upside down, started administering back blows, and nothing was working. Nothing was moving. He was just getting more and more frantic. And at one point, I noticed that his lips were starting to go blue. And that's when I went for the life vac. I put him on his back, which, you know, is really counterintuitive when someone's choking to lay him on their back. But that's what the instruction said to do. So I trusted it. The first time I tried to administer it, he turned his head. So there was no suction able to work. And I thought, I'm going to do it again. At this point, I had 999 and I'd been put on hold. So I had my phone on loudspeaker and I'd been put on hold. And it was 6 minutes, I think, before I actually got even in contact with an operator. By that time, the life vac had managed to pull the penny out. I heard a penny plop on the floor. He vomited and then took a massive breath of air in. And then I just remember feeling relief, and I picked the penny up and I was still on the phone to the operator. Took another 13 minutes for paramedics to arrive, by which time, had I not have had the life vac, serious damage could have been done, because no amount of me hitting him on his back or doing any of the manoeuvres that would normally have worked was working, because of the penny had managed to lodge itself sideways. And the guilt I felt afterwards for missing that penny coin, I mean, it's something that parents are always worried about, is your child choking. And when you see it in real life, it does change how you see things, because now I'm always just looking for everything's a choking hazard. But that life vac literally is what I believe stopped my son from dying or having severe brain damage. If I didn't have it, I would have had to have waited until those paramedics turned up and then for them to get him to the hospital, for them to be able to remove it. So in a time-sensitive situation, it saved his life, I believe, anyway. And that's why I'm doing this interview. I wouldn't normally feel comfortable doing things like this, but if my doing this interview can save another child or another parent hears it and thinks, you know what, that's a really handy thing to have.
Bailey is now expected to make a full recovery.
Kent Online News.
Figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show hundreds of parents have repeatedly taken their children out of school for unauthorised holidays. More than 13,000 penalty notices were issued in Kent and Medway for the 2022 to 2023 academic year. It comes as tougher rules have been introduced, including higher fines of £80 and doubling for a second absence. The boss of the Port of Dover has revealed they want to handle 20% more trade by 2050. Doug Bannister is going to unveil their plans at the Labour Party conference later. The Port's been described as being at the heart of the nation's economic future, and he's urging politicians to support their plans. A Canterbury dentist says his practice could offer 6,000 extra NHS appointments a year if he's given planning permission to expand. Peter Chopra, who runs Chopra and Associates in Military Road, wants to convert the residential property next door, known as Bakery Cottage, to create two new treatment rooms. He says it will help ease long waiting lists, but the application is yet to be approved. Restrictions on the movement of farm animals has been extended from Kent to cover the whole of the southeast. It's because of the number of cases of blue tongue, which can cause problems in cattle, sheep and goats. The disease was initially discovered in cows in Canterbury last November.
Kent Online News.
A Ramsgate couple haven't been able to use their living room for nearly a year thanks to a new build's leaky roof. Dad of two, Steve Ford, says he complained about the damp patch, but the management company said it was nothing to worry about, so he painted over it. Lang O'Rourke say they've dealt with three minor issues and have not been made of any other problems since 2020. one. Horizon Management has not replied to the multiple emails requesting a comment. It's been confirmed an abandoned charity shop in Maidstone is going to be sold at auction. The Save the Children building in Union Street closed during the pandemic and never reopened. We've previously told you about complaints as people were still leaving donations outside. The man who created a controversial sculpture in Canterbury has said he didn't intend for it to cause any upset. The woman submerged in the River Stour has been described as creepy and disturbing. Jason DeCairns has urged us to go and see it before having an opinion. Now, the man who heads up the Green Party at Kent County Council has revealed how they're hoping to quadruple their number of councillors. Every seat at County Hall will be up for grabs at next May's local elections. Councillor Richard Learman says the climate emergency is much higher on the agenda locally, but there's still work to do on a national level. He's been speaking to local Democracy reporter Simon Finlay on the latest edition of the Kent Politics podcast.
When I was campaigning in 2021, I would meet people on the doorstep who were very happy to vote for me as a Green councillor to represent them at the County Council, but were then quite open in saying that they wouldn't vote Green at a general election. And those people, you know, are cognizant of the differences in now two groups, two parties in terms of economic policy, and they're quite happy to vote Green for a Green representative to represent them locally, because they know that that area of Green policy is not something that will really hugely come into play. Mm-hmm. Obviously it will in certain areas of council work, but not in the same way that it would in government. And I see our role as being one of building that trust. You know, the Green Party are, as far as I'm aware, still the most trusted brand in terms of the main political parties in the UK.
Kent County Council elections come up next May. It's difficult to see, really, who of the opposition parties is likely to, you know, come out top for various different reasons. But, you know, how do you think it will pan out for the Greens, and what specific sort of areas in Kent do you think you'll be targeting in terms of the best chance of returning the most number of councillors you can?
That's a good question. I think we're looking at winning or taking at least, you know, one or two seats in most districts in Kent. And as I imagine you would expect, we're perhaps looking at taking the greater numbers in the districts in which we have stronger district council representation. And overall across the county, I think we're looking at, in 2021, we quadrupled the size of the group from 1 to 4. Mm-hmm. And we have added one more since then through a by-election. But if we can quadruple from 4 to 16, that would be a fantastic result for us. But I'm not sure if we'll quite make that. But somewhere in that region would be great.
So you're not sure you'll get up to 16. But that
we'll see. Mm. I mean, we might get up to 20. But
yeah, sure.
We'll see.
Head to Kent Online or I'm listening for that episode in full.
Kent Online News.
A converted bus designed by TV's George Clark has been officially opened at a nursery in Canterbury. The vehicle will be used by children while their current building on Spring Lane is refurbished. The top deck is used for science and food lessons, while the lower has a reading zone and even an office. Ian College is from Bright Horizons.
It's really exciting, and it wasn't a very difficult decision for us to make to include Molly in Canterbury. I mean, the background behind it is we're putting our single biggest refurb investment into the nursery as we speak. And because of that, it's a huge, huge investment to take it really to the next level. It's going to be an absolutely beautiful building. Same building, but just redeveloping it all. And because of that, we've had to move a lot of the children out and we didn't know where to put them. It's a very busy nursery, very popular nursery. Initially, we were going to look for some sort of porter cabin where we've done a couple of locations. And our property team were offered a bus and was designed by George Clark, which is quite remarkable. And it's in such beautiful condition as a nursery with all the regulatory needs, all the health and safety. And it's just wonderful. And you can see how happy the children are playing in it. And we've had it in situ now for about 8 weeks with our toddler group, our 2 and 3 year olds. And they're just loving it. And the parents are loving it. And they've got their awning as well as the upstairs and downstairs. It's all been split into different levels. And it's wonderful. It's a new way of working for the staff, but everyone's really enjoying it. And it's a lot of fun for everybody.
It must be quite magical for the children because they've got something different to explore. Can you just describe a bit more about the interior? Presumably your traditional chairs have all been removed and it's been set out very differently. What have you got inside?
So upstairs is very much STEAM-based, so science and technology and cooking. So very, very, very practical in that sense. So the bus itself is a totally all-encompass nursery. It could run as a standalone nursery. It's even got a manager's office, which is the driver's seat, which is very strange. It's even got toilets, sinks, water, everything in there. So the upstairs is very open to science and technology and the cooking. And downstairs is a lot of reading areas. We've got a reading nook and a library and a little tiered seating, which is just such a they're two completely separate areas. But then we've got the awning. So the awning is vast, which is part very much part of the nursery. And inside there is what you would probably see as a more traditional nursery setup with some tables, with some chairs, with some play equipment. We've got AstroTurf on the floor. So there's three distinct locations for the children to go to. And as with all our nurseries, we like children to have free choice, to be able to roam, to free flow, to choose activities that make them happy and engage them. So they've got all these different zones within the upstairs, the downstairs, and outside. So it's wonderful for them.
What sort of feedback have you had from the children and the staff so far? As you say, it's been in situ for a little while ahead of its grand opening. Are they all enjoying it?
Very much so, yes, very much so. I think because it's so different, and it's very difficult for our staff to manage such a, I suppose, strange building with, the tight staircases, which are all, we've got them very well managed in terms of health and safety, but it's difficult to manage keeping the children in sight and sound all the time, which is very important for our young children. But they've taken to it like a duck to water, as have the children. And it's just, there's a beautiful noise, there's great engagement, lots of fun and activity there. It's been wonderful for everyone. And the staff love it. They really love it because the rest of the nursery is getting a refurb. For them, it's this fresh new space, which is just unique. And I think for children to walk onto a bus and go to nursery in a bus is magical.
Three more lions have been rescued from war-torn Ukraine thanks to an animal park in Kent. Vanda, Amani and Lyra were transported from Kyiv last Wednesday to temporary locations in Belgium. They'll eventually live at their forever home at the Big Cat Sanctuary in Smarden, which is raising £500,000 to build it. Meanwhile, a lion born at a Kent wildlife park has made its first kill since being returned to the wild. Three-year-old Azzy was moved to South Africa from Port Lim. He's the first born in captivity in the UK to successfully stalk a herd. And hundreds of people have queued outside a tattoo and piercing shop in Canterbury ahead of a flash sale. Drawn and Quartered in Windsheep launched their £20 sale event yesterday, attracting more than 300 people who queued in a huge line which snaked along nearby roads. There were 170 pre-drawn designs for customers to choose from, and each person could have up to 5 tattoos, with each tattoo taking a few minutes. The team say it was fueled by a desire to thank its loyal customers and acknowledge the cost of living crisis with an affordable event for everyone.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and Gillingham have climbed up to second in the League Two table after beating Notts County at Meadow Lane. A first-half goal from Elliot Nevitt was enough to get the win despite a disallowed goal for the hosts in the second half. Here's Gill's assistant manager, Anthony Hayes.
We're showing like a bit of flexibility, a bit of adaptability to how we want to do things. We're a team that can go and get after players, get after teams, I should say. We're also a team that if we need to, we can block up the pitch. And one thing that we've got a real pride in is we defend our box really, really well. We're showing different ways, really flexible, really adaptable, but we're also being successful at the minute, and it's just something that we just need to continue to work on. I think going back to, I said to Bonza after maybe 56, 57 minutes, I thought we were growing into the game. You could see a bit of a swagger in our play. I thought we had controlled periods with the ball. We limited them to very, very little chances, like Jody Jones, Dave McGoldrick, Danny Crowley. They've got some really, really good players for this level, and the amount of times that they've got on it to really hurt us, like, I think is minimal. I can't remember really many, if any, moments. So I think that's credit to the players in terms of how they executed what was asked of them. We're getting better week by week with and without the ball. That's the exciting thing for us.
Here's Gillingham centre-back Max Emma on what new boss Mark Bonner has done for the squad.
From day one, he's been clear about what he wants from us on and off the ball. The atmosphere in the dressing room in terms of all the boys is excellent. Everyone gets on with everyone. The dressing room can be a little carnage in terms of with the banter and stuff like that, but it's a real tight-knit group. But like I say, once we're on the grass working, it's work time. There's no messing around then. But the gaffer has been excellent from day one. We're working hard, we're doing the right things, and that's reflecting in where we are in the league now. But like I said, it's early in the season. And we're not looking at the league table as such, but we're taking good confidence out of knowing where we are in the league and how much more we can still progress from that.
The Gills will welcome Crystal Palace to Priestfield tomorrow night in the next round of the Carabao Cup before Stephen Clements makes a return to Priestfield on Saturday with his club, Barrow. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.